It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Happy Sabbath and good morning to everyone. God bless you this morning. Thank you for joining us for worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast. We'll mention this a few times. Starting tomorrow morning, we are taking 1 week off from all broadcasts. Yes, we need a little time for reflection, but at the same time, there are other reasons as well, and that make it such that it'll be kind of difficult for us to do it consistently. So that being said, mark your calendars because we are simply taking a time away. So from the 14th through the 20th, that's a Sunday through the Sabbath, we will not be broadcasting. And then we will come back on the 21st. So mark your calendar after the worship service today on Zoom. We will not resume any broadcast until the 21st of May. Please mark your calendars. That does not mean we are out of touch. You can reach us. You can contact us. And we want you to do that. And we'll be reaching out and contacting you all as well. I have not responded to every condolences gesture. They're wonderful. They're lovely. I want you to know all of them are being read. They're just coming in so frequently. And with all that we have to do, I just haven't been able to respond. So the goal is to respond. I may have to do just a blanket response on Facebook. I'm not sure. But the point being made is just know that they are being read. They are appreciated. I got messages from several of the saints, and we just love you all. Particularly on this call, I hadn't yet responded to Mother Winston. Okay, so we just want to let you know we have received them, and we thank you for them. So for those of you who've just come on, after the Sabbath service today, which is at 12, we are taking a week off. So we will resume broadcast on the 21st, so mark your calendar. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath day. We thank you for this time to come together to have worship. And now we ask for your Spirit to come and teach us the things we need to know. Give us fresh manna from heaven this morning as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your Spirit. Bless us this morning as we continue to grow in grace and in wisdom, drawing nigh to you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming.
worship. We've entitled our worship thought, Simon the Sorcerer, but it speaks of that issue. It also, in Acts chapter 8, we learn about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, as well as some of the persecution of the church. So Acts chapter 8 is the chapter that we are focusing on. We will be talking about how to postpone your funeral for worship on Zoom. So that has health implications, and so we're just going to have worship this morning. May God bless us. Let's pray. Father, be with us now as we worship you. We thank you very much for all you've done for us. We thank you for the peace that you give us. We thank you for all the wonderful outreach to our family in our time of bereavement. We pray that you will bless those who did such outreach, and we pray that you will, we thank you for allowing us to sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. And we just thank you for this message that we are allowed to present, and we pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us in Jesus' name. Amen. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Who is that talking about? Saul consented unto the death of Stephen. Now, Saul later became Paul. So, brothers and sisters, people who might today be an enemy of the faith, they might be the strongest adherent tomorrow. We have to, that's the difference between having the Holy Spirit and not having the Holy Spirit. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you that persecution is always from a religious source. Tribulation comes from the world. So when the government comes against you, technically that's not persecution, that's tribulation. Now, the problem is the majority of tribulation starts with persecution. It's the church that turns people over to the state. We see that in the Bible. We see that it was the Jews that turned Christ over to Pontius Pilate. You follow what I'm saying? And the Bible says, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That was the Jewish people that killed their own prophets. Okay? So just want to share that with you. Now, this is powerful because sometimes God uses persecution to spread the gospel. We don't think about it that way. But the persecution allowed them to go out. Remember when Jesus in Acts chapter 1, he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, that's the headquarters, and in all Judea, that's a little bit beyond, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So God allowed persecution because that's what caused, you know, we have that natural leaning toward just staying where the leadership is and congregating in one place. God allows persecution to spread that. Now, maybe if we would go out, we might not have to have persecution to the level that sometimes we do. But God knows our human nature, and so he allows persecution to keep us from all congregating in one place. All right, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. That word hailing is an archaic word. It basically, you could look at it as hauling. It basically means to forcibly drag people out. But it is H-A-L-I-N-G, hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, I want you all to understand the Samaritans were part Jews and part pagans. They accepted some of the idolatry of the time, but they claimed that they were the authentic people of God. You can read about that in John chapter 4. But Jesus told them that salvation is of the Jews, meaning that that's the true church at that time. Though the organization was about to go sour, that was the people that God had. And they didn't openly profess to be in idolatry or openly do it. Now, they had sins, the leadership, even to the point of murder, to gain their positions, lots of politics, lots of lack of spirit, of the Holy Spirit was present there, but that was the church at that time. It says, therefore they were scattered abroad. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. You see, that wasn't so strange for them to get involved in divination, because they had gotten into idolatry and mixed idolatry with the holy precepts of God. And that's not good, friend. So, but anyway, they needed to hear the gospel too. And so God sent Philip to Samaria, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So this man, Simon, was deceiving the people, and to him they had regard because of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Brothers and sisters, when we believe the truth and we accept the truth, we should be baptized. If there is significant new truth, if we keep studying the book of Acts, we'll see that there was rebaptisms. But those who were baptized had believed the truth. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now this is an interesting concept, and one we don't talk about much because it is often misunderstood. Because you are baptized and you are committing yourself to Christ, there's still more. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said, I think it's in it's either Jesus or John the Baptist, said in Matthew 3:11, I believe it was, but he said, I baptize you with water. The one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So you need to understand there's three baptisms. There's the baptism of water, which is the baptism to say, hey, I accept all the truth and I surrender my heart. And it's a public statement that I have done this. They sent unto them Peter and John, and when they had prayed, they received the Holy Ghost, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So I want you all to understand, it is important that we recognize. And the reason why we sometimes don't like to talk about this is because it is often misused. So when the Holy Ghost falls on people, they fall out foaming at the mouth, speaking in gibberish. That's not in the Bible, friends. We've gone through that already. We've already talked about what speaking in tongues is. But the power of the Holy Ghost is a special blessing and gift that God gives to people who have committed themselves to God, to those who've been baptized. We're baptized, making that public commitment, then we should ask for also the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, the devil can't affect you. He can't cause you to sin. It's a lack of Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, that causes leading men of the church to be proud and arrogant and hesitant to apologize when they've done wrong. They have a lack of the Holy Spirit. They might be preaching a lot. They might be sharing a lot. They might know a lot. But brothers and sisters, if you don't have the sweet, sweet Spirit of the Lord upon your life, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on something great. And this is very, very important that we understand this, my brothers and sisters. We need the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. So God is good. And we want to encourage you to ask for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon you, that you might receive the gifts of the Spirit. It is not, my brothers and sisters, again, a what the world or even the church in the world makes it out to be, that you have to foam at the mouth and yell and scream and It's just, you won't find that in the Bible. They simply were baptized. They were prayed over, laid hands. They received the Holy Spirit. It didn't say they jumped and, danced all around and all of that kind of thing. It just doesn't say that. That's made up. That came from the false movement of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, because when you have that false excitement, then you're not really focusing on the Word of God. You come to church to get a high. You don't even, you can come out and get that high. What the preacher preach about? I don't know, but he sure was dancing. I don't know, but the Spirit of God was surely there. Friends, the Spirit, 16:13 of John, guides us into all truth. So when you don't have the Word and the Word being taught and the Bible being read and you're just entertained, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's a different spirit. Then laid they their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands I may receive, he may receive the Holy Ghost." You see, sometimes we do things for monetary gain. Some people get involved in ministry for monetary gain. While money answereth all things, if we do need funds to run ministries and do godly work, if we do it for the motive of money, the Holy Spirit is not with us. But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." He answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and who had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, that's Isaiah the prophet. So my brothers and sisters, the reason why we need the Holy Spirit, one of the blessings we get is he tells you where to go. He tells you what to do. He tells you what to say. He tells you what not to say. Okay, and so when we're led by the Spirit, we're actually led by a divine power that's guiding us moment by moment. You talk about powerful GPS. That's what we need, is the Holy Spirit. That's the most powerful GPS there ever is. We think about turn-by-turn direction with GPS, brothers and sisters. God will lead you, guide you, impress you to what to do. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." You see, it was Isaiah 53, that beautiful chapter that talks about Christ's suffering. The eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." He answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." See, brothers and sisters, you shouldn't be baptized unless you believe with all your heart. If you believe with all your heart, you're saying, "I will follow Jesus no matter where he leads me, I will follow. But no matter what I have to do, no matter what I have to give up, I will follow." When you've reached that point, you can be baptized, my friend. Now, sometimes it's wise to get some teaching, because you might say, well, I didn't know I was signing up for all this, you see. So that's why teaching is important, but There is no rule in the Bible that says you have to have this number of this number of Bible studies. You have to know all of these specific doctrines. There's no comprehensive list along that line. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So, my brothers and sisters, God is merciful, God is good, and this is Acts chapter 8. Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch, preaching, baptizing. That's what we're supposed to do. The gospel has to get out, my friend. The gospel was a gospel not only of doctrine, it was a gospel of health. You see, when we share and help people, we're actually preaching and teaching and ministering in the gospel. Jesus did more healing than he did preaching. And that is what is going to finish this work, mainly publications and healing. Then there will be some preaching. But the bottom line, friends, is that most of these churches do all preaching. They don't have a health work that is of any value. Yeah, they might, tell people go to their doctor and might have some, screenings and things of this nature. The world does that. We need to be helping people overcome cancer. We need to be helping people overcome diabetes. We need to help people overcome arthritis and hypertension and lupus and scleroderma and rheumatoid arthritis and thyroid issues. We can do that. There is power in the name of Jesus and in the plan that God gives. He will use his power when we use his plan. That's 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. Let's just end with that verse. Those verses, I should say. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 26 through 29. The Bible says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Amen? So God uses things that the world despises so that the world won't rob him of his glory. You see, if God only used people who had advanced degrees, then people would think that having advanced degrees made you a better person. It does not. Many a person with advanced degrees is evil, conniving, selfish, greedy. Your degree doesn't have any element of holiness. It doesn't add any holiness, brothers and sisters. What is important is that you walk with the Lord, and God can use people without degrees more often than he can use people with degrees, because when we have a lot of this false education, it's hard to give God the glory. We give glory to our status and our degrees, and so God can't use us. It doesn't say he can't use any. It just says he can't use many of them, okay? So, brothers and sisters, God is good. The health message is an example of that. People listen more to people who have degrees as medical professionals, but they generally were not trained to heal the sick. So God doesn't call us to have a medical degree. He doesn't even call us to practice medicine. He calls us to heal the sick. Now, you can have a license to practice medicine. That doesn't disqualify you from healing the sick, but the Bible doesn't require you to have a medical license to heal the sick. So God is the great physician. He is the great healer. He is the one who made the human body, and it is a call of God to heal the sick. That's a command. We have no options. We have no choice. Just as he says, preach the gospel. He says, heal the sick. So that is command. May the Lord bless you and keep you, brothers and sisters. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we close out this message, we ask for your spirit to dwell with us. We thank you for all your kindness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to mention again, brothers and sisters, we will have Sabbath service today on Zoom. And after Sabbath service, we're going to take a break for 1 week. Spend time with God. Spend extra time with God. Reach out to others. Feel free to contact us. We are available. We're just not able to be where we have broadcast on a regular basis. So we're just going to take this week off from Sunday all the way through the next Sabbath, and then we will resume on the 21st back together. So that being said, brothers and sisters, I'm going to turn it over to my wife, if she's available, to give us our fourth commandment, and then we'll close out. We will be at 12 together today.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days of thy labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that's within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Absolutely. Praise God. Friends, our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship.